Welcome to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Habate.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry.
We are doing a special flight night here at Barrel House 101. One of our fantastic sponsors, certainly.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how I happened to become friends with Joby, but I am glad that I did. It must be my youthful exuberance about beer.
Exuberance. I like that. I've never heard you say the word exuberance.
Exuberance.
I fell upon my friendship with Joby, I think, just out of frequency.
Well,
showing my face in this restaurant.
Masa Manos, whatever it is, I mean, just because you show up here every single day or because...
Sometimes I use it in my office.
Right. I mean, no matter whatever the reason is that brought us together here at this point, It's in the stars. I mean, really, seriously. It's one of those Greek mythology things that where the stars all align.
Well, and the other alignment of stars is getting you home safe tonight. That's WeirdDriving.com. So if you need a great ride in Southern California back to your location of origin, and you want your car to come with you...
That's an important part.
Get a hold of Weird Driving at WeirdDriving.com. They'll send out two drivers in a car. One of those drivers gets in your car with you and gets everything back to where it needs to be.
Right, and... It's how I get home after every one of these. And you know that. And then also we've got, when we're not here at Barrel House 101, we've got the Beer Cave located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo, California. They supply the beer when we're in studios. But just because we're here doesn't mean that we don't appreciate their sponsorship.
We totally appreciate it, along with our other great sponsors, the Lab 805. You know, we're not doing a big broadcast tonight, but normally you'd see an on-air sign with lit LEDs and a show plaque, and we'd be like,
pretend,
we're professional.
Pretend this is We're Driving, and this is Lab 805, and this is Food Share, and this is Barrel House 101. There's one more in there. What am I missing? Everybody's Hungry.
Hop It Said,
but there's one.
You know what? Check out the website, hopitsaid.com/pints and pairings. You're going to see some past shows, all the great sponsors and the graphics. But all those people come together and they say, we trust you with our brands, and the way we communicate those brands is through our description about beers. And tonight we're working our way through the Port Brewing Lost Abbey flight at Barrel House 101. The first segment was the five beers of, like, magnitude, 12.5 to 13.5, some kind of major percentage.
They were crazy. So the range of ABV was 12.5% to 13.5%.
It's like bottles of wine.
So how do you do that? Well, we did it. So go find part one of this episode, of this Lost Abbey Port Brewing flight night.
And a conscious decision was made before broadcasting that enough of the flavors of the first flight, where we would typically start to lead off, were coming through that they would hold up to the big boys of the 12.5% to 13.5% flight. So we're going to cleanse our palate in this segment. We're going to actually go backward from what we normally would consider a progression of beers.
Jason, I couldn't agree with you more. We're looking at some sour beers here, and if you're doing a big, whatever it is, food pairing, a beer dinner, whatever, you can always count on the sour beers to be your palate cleansers.
Yeah, they're an aperitif, almost.
Right, whether it's halfway in between, if it's right at the very end when you're getting ready to go into your desserts, whatever it is, these beers are, they're versatile.
And if you subscribe to us on iTunes and go back to some of the historic episodes, some of our archives, the sour broadcast, we actually talk about some foods where the sour is a primary focus. It's not just a palate cleanser. But especially in regards to tonight's flight, the sours are going to help us kind of wash things away, reset our palates. I am working on a beer dinner coming up in a few weeks that you will be attending, that the sour is getting paired with a specific dish. It's not just going to be a side thought or an afterthought. But tonight, I need something. I need that fresh fruit. I need that little sour citric punch to get through these older viscosities and agave marias. I almost said ave. I almost sang again. But the agave maria.
Either way.
Because they're so big. They're intense flavors. They're high alcohol percentage. I'm ready for something refreshing.
Well, talk us through. What do we got here? So
all
what's
right,
the list?
So working
here?
Left to right, we got a great golden-hued. Curtis is going to show you a great golden-hued glass, and that's the Spontaneous Cheer. It's an American wild ale with all wild yeast, fermented 6 months, followed by Red Poppy, which is a Flanders-style red. Great cherry notes are going to come out in that. You're going to have some rich fruit. The Framboise de Amoroso, which is barrel-aged raspberry sour. And I think people are really recognizing that raspberry is a great ingredient when it comes to sours. It's versatile, and it lends... itself to many other fruits when in, it ferments. The flavors that come out are going to be really wide-ranging. The Cuvée de Tomé, which is a barrel-aged Judgment Day with cherries. And going back, the Judgment Day, as we tasted off-camera, is intense by itself. And I'm going to let you speak to what we feel it does for the other beers. But the Judgment Day in the last in the lineup is the Belgian-style quadruple with raisins.
I think raisins is a foregone conclusion when you say quadruple. I mean, no.
Raisins, dates, and figs, I think all three of those are typically represented in a quadruple.
Right, and those flavors a lot of times come from the grains. I mean, there's a certain amount of yeast characteristic in it, but the grains that that are used in these beers, that brewers use, they are they aren't dried all the way. And so when the barley comes onto the field, you have to dry the barley before you kiln it. And so what happens is that these, because they're not dried all the way, that they actually go through a small mini mash inside the kernel. And so those sugars are converted from starches to usable sugars. And then when they're put in the kiln to dry, what actually happens for a while is it mashes inside the barley husk. And then it becomes caramelized because it gets so hot. And that's where you get those really rich, dark, really dark brown sugar flavors, the dates, the figs. All of that comes through from those grains.
And this one is so intense in terms of that conglomeration of flavors. To me, it's going almost in a savory direction, though. Like, it's losing some of its sweetness. And I'd have to imagine that's going to be a little bit from the barrels. But it's taking me down almost a briny direction with a little bit of a... You know, we were just at Firestone this past weekend, and they had that umami monster.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's some... They use seawater and some fermented fish. Now, I'm not saying that this one holds up to that in the exact same way. But there's definitely, a little bit of a salty, almost anchovy... and mushroom kind of note coming out in the nose now that's warming up, that just speaks to the drastic spectrum of flavor you're going to get.
And so this, the one that we're drinking right now that we're talking about is on the end. Read the description again.
It's the Belgian-style quadruple with raisins at 10.5%.
This is just the quad. Now, what's interesting is when we were lining up these beers to talk about, we kind of had that we were going to talk about number one and number four, but as these are warming up as we go through this, we're finding these some more interesting aspects that come out of these beers. And we were kind of going to skip over number five, which is what you're pulling out some of these savory flavors, because we were going to hit the one that was right before it.
Sure.
But that's what's great about, and I don't mean that in any other way other than that, that's what's great about these flights is that as you're tasting all the way through, then you come back and you hit your favorite ones, and then you come, and that because they're in a 5-ounce taster, that it doesn't take long for them to aerate, for them to warm up, and for a lot of these sweet malt
they
flavors,
they start releasing all their goodness. Initially, I was not a big fan of this one, but as it's warming up, it's starting to release, like you said, some of that sweetness for me. It's balancing some of the earthiness, some of that mushroom and savory that was in there for me, because it was almost too bitter. As I mentioned off camera, I think it's a fair assessment to recap. It was, for me, everything I hated about sun-made raisin boxes in my lunch as a kid, because you get that dark, kind of just reduced grape flavor of the raisin, that just almost smoky note of a raisin because of the tannic skin.
Yeah.
And then you, especially when you get to the bottom and there's like those few raisins at the bottom that won't let go, and you start shaking it. You're banging it against your mouth, and of course you're getting little residual flavor touches of the cardboard mixing with the sweetness of the raisin. And initially when this was ice cold, that's what I was getting out of this glass.
And you've hit on a great point and illustrated the point that when we drink these beers, letting them warm up a little bit always helps. Now, if you are a fan of sun-made raisins in the box, then this is your beer. And I don't mean to knock anyone else's flavor predispositions. If this is something that you that's what we're here for, is to describe these tastes. And if that is something that you really, really like, then go to it. My favorite of these coming through these darker beers that we have is the number 4 beer,
yeah,
which is the old, what is it, Judgment Day?
It's a Cuvée de Tome, which has this Judgment Day we're talking about that's been barrel aged, but then they add cherries,
right,
which it needs. You know, just to round out the Judgment Day real quick, because I think it makes sense in terms of how we're going to describe the Tome. I think it would go really well actually with a meaty, a hearty chili that has some sweetness added to it, like a great fresh tomato and some brown sugar. So you're going to get earthiness. You're going to get that irony. Almost, if you use a dry-aged ground beef, it's going to resonate well with the beer. And then, again, if you threw in some brown sugar, cinnamon, and some fresh tomato, it's going to bring a sweetness and a spice that would knock down the Judgment Day a little bit. However, going into the Tome that you just tasted, they're adding cherries, which is adding that sweetness, the sugar that I would be doing with the brown sugar anyway.
Right, and this is a completely different beer. So we've got a couple that are some Flanders Red coming up to this flight, and then we've got the Judgment Day. This is, for me, the best of the two worlds. This has the Judgment Day complexity of the figs and the raisins, and then it has this wonderful tart cherry that helps to cleanse everything out before it becomes too cloying on the raisin side.
We're not talking about, like, the bright red and yellow cherries or the maraschino cherries you're going to get in your drink. For me, this is that beautiful dark ruby red, yeah, almost burgundy color, yeah, like Bing cherry and the some wonderful cherries that we typically get out of Michigan. Like, they're going to be, or even Washington, that just dark, rich flesh that gives you a deep, deep sweetness, not the tart, kind of vibrant, sour sweetness.
Right, I'm trying to think of food pairings, and, you know, coming back to what I had said earlier about how these fit either before to kind of get your palate, you know, just to get your mouth watering before you start to eat something, to cleanse your palate in between. You know, it's really hard for me to come to anything other than maybe something that's really creamy. And so,
oh, I did not expect you to go that route. I was trying to, like, mind meld with you on my idea, but I'll wait until
it was done. It was one of these things. But it's whether it's an ice cream cream, savory, you know, that kind of that mouthfeel, or if it's if you're going towards a totally butter sort of salty. What?
Like a pound cake or a butter cake with some fresh reduced fruit?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't even thinking necessarily in dessert or even sweet, because I think there's enough sweet in this that something needs to kind of balance it out.
How
on the savory side.
How about a rich dark pork loin with, like, some rosemary or some tarragon?
You've got that rich, irony sort of flavor in that meat. You know, talking about something that's medium rare at the most.
Sure.
So,
or if you even threw on a little bit of bacon, because everybody loves pork loin and bacon together.
Come
but
on.
The saltiness of the bacon, I think, is going to draw out more of the sugary sweetness of this beer and temper some of the tartness.
Right. And so, you know, you're saying pork, and I was thinking, you said pork loin. I mean, I was thinking beefy, you know, and just something that would help to cut through that.
Either one will work great, though, because I think if you want to go, I mentioned the pork loin with, you know, the fresh herbs, but if you want to go on the beef route, I think you're right on target with keeping it medium rare, so you get that rich minerally and iron resemblance. But throw on an earthy, like, almost do a coffee ground rub. Let's take some coffee grounds, some dark brown sugar, and, you know, a little bit of salt and pepper, and use that as a dry rub on the outside of the beef, so it gets a really good crust. And it takes on that earthy sweetness and, again, brings down... Because this beer, although it's bringing out that rich kind of barrel aspect, there's enough tartness and sweetness there that it could be kicked down a notch or two.
As you were talking through that, something that's been in my life recently, and so it's fresh in my head, is we've been using a lot of truffle salt.
Okay.
And so even whether it's roasted vegetables... You throw that truffle salt on it, and you've got this really savory sort of flavor. I think this would be something. Just the other night we had purple carrots, which in themselves aren't very, like, when they're raw, I don't appreciate that flavor. But when they're steamed or they're roasted, they develop a really great sweetness, which was what we were kind of talking about. You throw on a little bit of truffle salt on top of that, it adds this layer of savoriness to it.
I definitely agree with that. Almost some kind of a wilted, velvety mouthfeel, too. That truffle, it lends itself to, it's hard to, like an unctuous.
Yeah.
Just, it makes your mouth water, and you don't know why, but it's got
right.
this really weird, earthy, mildewy deliciousness.
And I love the word unctuous, too. And that is exactly what it is. It just, that as soon as you smell truffles.
It makes you salivate.
Yeah, it just makes you salivate, no matter who you are. I mean, and that's why, what is it, pigs? No.
Pigs.
That goes.
Yeah, they train them, and they snip
right.
that out with that little snout of theirs.
To be able to snip them out. So I think, you know, we talked about kind of, The sweet pairing with this tart, really rich, figgy raisin. And then we've also gone to the savory side with that, too.
Should we wash things away?
Yeah, the one that I really, really am excited
especially
about.
Especially color-wise, which one of these things is not like the other?
Right, take a look at that.
It's like a rainbow spectrum of crayons.
Right.
And that's the spontaneous cheer again, American Wild Ale. And it's wild yeast that's fermented 6 months in the brew house.
Well, and kudos to you for pulling out Sesame Street, really. Seriously. I appreciate that.
35 years kid at heart.
There it is. So we've got this beer that is 6 months fermented with wild yeast. And talking to Joby earlier, he was giving us kind of the backstory on it, is that, you know, they just let it open to whatever flew through the window, and then they let it ferment on whatever flew through the window while it was sitting there and cooling.
Sometimes you just gotta let the best things do what they do.
I'm always a little, especially with American wild ales, I'm always a little cautious about these.
Well, you're cautious about anything that includes wild yeast and bacteria. You're kind of a clean freak anyway.
Well,
and so I think you have a fear of the unknown.
With home brewing, certainly, but there's a lot of American wild ales that think they're doing lambics, or they think they're doing agus, or they think they're doing all of these other, and sometimes they work really well, and sometimes they just kind of fall flat on their face.
Sure.
This one, let me tell you, when I took my first whiff of this, I wasn't very encouraged by it because it had this really funky smell, but when I tasted it, it had this really great sour tart flavor that I'm looking for in a wild ale.
And I actually really want to resonate with this beer. My wife makes a dish that her family friends taught her how to make, and it's that pavlova, that great baked meringue with a crispy outside, marshmallow kind of fluffy inside. But the way it's traditionally served is with passion fruit on top. And it can be served with kiwi, it can be served with other berries, but it's typically served with passion fruit seeds. And the way this beer, I think, is tart enough to really kind of sit with that passion fruit and that little bit of fresh zing and zest of that direction, but then that just intensity of sugar and sweetness coming underneath with the pavlova would just go really well because it needs some sweetness, but I don't want to lose the tart and the funky, wild aspects either.
I think for me, with this one, as you're talking about all these sweet and these tarts and all these flavors, I love passion fruit. And my wife is from Hawaii, and so we call it lily koi.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I get calling...
You gotta be respectful.
Sometimes I keep calling... I call things lily koi, and people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm like, what? A passion fruit. But I think... for me, I think that's almost a little too close. But what I was thinking was going... a cheesecake route. So you've got this graham cracker crust, which is kind of what you were talking about. Something that's not too sweet, you've got a little bit of, ginger snap-ish
All
sort
right.
of flavor.
I can see it.
And then you've got this really creamy mouthfeel from the cake. from the cheesecake, which this beer is going to help wash away. And coat it. So it's going to be a while before that this beer actually works through to your palate. So for people who aren't a sour beer aficionados, that this is going a cheesecake, I think, would be a really good way of to introducing them to this. Take a bite of cheesecake, let this kind of wash over, and by the time it gets to your palate through all the thick cheesecake, that it's going to be a little mellowed out by the time it gets there.
And this beer is definitely going to soften as it warms. So you're going to get some more of that sugary sweetness as it starts to warm up. But I see your volley, and
come on back.
Back over the net.
All right.
What if we go into a Thai realm? Because I think it could also really go well with some coconut base. Like a tom kai, like a great coconut soup. It has some basic chicken in there.
Yeah.
So you get that protein, that meaty aspect of the chicken. It typically has some like galunga, which is like in the ginger root family. Mm. And there's mushrooms oftentimes. But again, that creamy coconut base could bring that sweetness down to more of a, staying in the tropical family, but it could bring it down to more of a manageable level.
I think so too. It
our popularity has gone up.
Yeah,
people are gravitating towards what we got going on.
The patio has gotten really crazy back here, crowded, which is great for everyone here who's enjoying these beers from Pizza Port. I was gonna try and top that, like volley back to you, but I'm just gonna let that.
There will be more matches, my friend.
There will be, yeah, and that's one of the great things about everything we do is that we love to play off each other as things come back and forth. And as the Beer Suggestioneers, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers, we're trying to drive the conversation about what do you taste? What are your sense memories? And
we're
what can you bring to it?
Ultimately, we're on the verge of beer geekery sometimes when we have these conversations. But that's really at the heart of what we're trying to do. Have fun. Keep people talking.
Right.
You know what? We drink these beers and like, hey, not every beer experience has to be, let me smell the glass intensely. Let me think through all the flavors. But every now and then, especially with a new beer, it's cool. Like you and I are tossing ideas back and forth, and eventually someone's going to come along that wants to make us every dish we've ever talked about on this series. Until that day, we'll just keep talking about it.
Right. At some point, we'll have our Food Network show, and people will be coming in.
We'll have a personal chef that travels on a tour bus with us and makes us each dish we discuss.
That's what we'll do. And seriously, what Jason was just saying, you know, coming into this evening, I'd tasted, I know that I've tasted two of these beers, but really, all the rest of them were all these brand new flavors. And as much as we talk about the beer geekery, I think the very first time you take a drink, whether you've just poured yourself a pint of the beer, that you need to take a moment and just think about the beer. And then if you go on from there and just suck it
down.
But if
you're going to take the first glub and just down it, like you might as well just have a glass of water.
Right.
Because all it's doing is quenching thirst at that point. You're not really experiencing what the brewery and the head brewer were trying to provide to you.
Perfect. I think we should call it quits right there.
I'm ready to drink some more beer.
All right, so you've been listening to Pints and Pairings, and this is the second flight. This is the sour flight here at Barrelhouse 101. You know,
from Port Brewing in Lost Abbey.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
They're all there. You know, all that stuff is there. I'm just not saying it out loud.
You find us all on the social media platforms at hashtag Pints and Pairings or hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. Give us a like on Facebook and go to iTunes, subscribe, get all our past shows.
Perfect.
It's been a great night tonight here at Barrelhouse 101. Curtis, as always, we'll see you at the next four.
I want to remind everyone, because I haven't done it this evening, to eat, drink, and be happy.
Very good.